Nahu Mikey P, Mike Probosy back, and this is a special presentation of In the Money Media, and we have a new partnership, and it's with Assiniboia Downs. So Assiniboia Downs races Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, and this is Western Canada. I'm not sure how familiar that a lot of the listeners are, and I think if you haven't been under a rock for the past few years, you're familiar with Assiniboia, and their signal is in a perfect spot. On the docket, because it's in a spot where there's not a lot going on, especially Mondays, Tuesdays, in the evening. So if you're interested, especially East Coast watchers of thoroughbred racing, you might pick up that Assiniboia signal, and they got a lot of things going. We have somebody here that is very involved up there that's live on the broadcast on a nightly basis. And it's Kurt Contois. I think I have that right. Hopefully you can correct me, though. And welcome to the podcast.
You betcha, Mike. Good enough. That'll work for me.
And you're big into the Assiniboia Downs broadcast team. We could talk a little bit about the track and what's going on up there. And it seems like a lot of handle is increasing, especially the past couple years up there.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Mike. Pre-COVID, our handle was usually in about the $200,000 range, except on Wednesdays when Woodbine would jump in, and we'd call it Woodbine Wednesday because our handles would reach usually about $300,000 to $400,000, and we were really excited about that. But then we used to race Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. Then COVID came, and we adopted the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, pretty well along with Fawner Park, which was one of the first tracks going. We were the first in Canada, and our handles went from that quite small 200,000 to about 1.4 million because of the lack of thoroughbred racing. So since that was so strong during COVID, we kept it going. And the great thing is the fans stuck with us.
Absolutely. And I do think you guys have like a perfect spot in the schedule. Like on Mondays and Tuesdays, you have a little Mountaineer, but then Assiniboia's is very, very prevalent on the schedule. And I know you guys, just kind of fill a void there.
Yeah, definitely. It's our CEO, Darren Dunn, that put us in that position and kind of mapped it out a little bit. And it's been doing absolutely amazing as our handles are still over a million every day. Opening day, we did 1.3 million on only six races, which is just absolutely unbelievable. When you see most of the tracks, their handles are plunging by about 10, 15%, and ours has gone up by 10 plus percentage. So that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's market niche, and it seems like everybody loves playing us.
Yeah, and lots of big competitive races. Now, the track configuration's a little bit different than some. You guys have six and a half furlong, and it's dirt only. It seems like very sprint-heavy type cards. What sort of races are being carded up there?
Yeah, right now it's sprint-heavy because it's early on in the year. A lot of our horses, probably 65, 70% of them have not winter raced. So we started in the first book, five furlongs for most of the races in the first 2 weeks. Now we're stretching out to five and a half. And then going forward from here, they'll go to six furlongs. And we do have a couple of route races, well, sprint races, but we're going to call them two-turn races, I guess. We had a couple seven furlong races already. We'd love to have the longer races, but those are really for the race fit horses to go in. So it's kind of tough to get the locals first start off the layoff to go in there. And that's why we're pretty well sprint heavy right now.
And I noticed, and we're going to go over the pick fours here for Monday and Tuesday. Very sprint heavy, like you said, but some bigger fields, a lot of horses coming off layoffs. What about, what sort of horses? I know you get the horses that kind of race exclusively at this track, but do you get some shippers, some horses coming in from other places? I noticed some Turf Paradise, maybe some Fawner horses.
Yeah, a lot of Turf Paradise fauna because they're pretty well on our radar. Some of our trainers go down to Phoenix in the winter. Some go to Nebraska, over to Fauna Park. But even California, Wendy Anderson, she shops heavily at Golden Gate. We have a couple of new trainers that are shopping at Santa Anita right now. So yes, Fauna and Turf Paradise are the big places, but you got to even throw in Tampa and California into the mix.
It's interesting too. California's landscape's changing with the closure of Golden Gate. So I'm curious, like how many, do you think you might get an influx of some of those horses from there or no?
Well, we get the influx of people purchasing it. We've reached out a little bit to some trainers, but it's hard putting us on the map when we are in the middle of Canada and most people don't even know where we are, but they do know of the name Assiniboia Downs now for the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday race cards, but just trainer-wise, no, but purchases, yes.
So talk about some of those top connections, top trainers, top jockeys that race at Assiniboia year in, year out. Where can, if somebody just picked it up, say this week, some of the names that you would say are prominent?
Well, our leading rider right now is Praven Badry. He tied for leading rider in 2019. So he is one of the upper elite riders. DeMario Bino, he just came here last year, but he's made a name for himself as being one of those calm, cool, collected riders that would even take speed balls off the pace. Ronaldo Cumberbatch has been here for almost 20 years. He's been a solid rider. Antonio Whitehall, he's a three-time leading rider here, and he's usually the one that everybody tries to go after. So those, I think, are the main ones that can really change horses if they do get a rider change to give them a little extra special consideration.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about on the training side? I'm sure that there's some names that stick out.
Oh, there definitely is. Jerry Gorno, he has a couple every race, five-time leading trainer here, and he has in excess of 55 horses on the grounds right now. He's always the top dog that everybody's trying to beat. You also have Steve Keplin Jr., a small stable, but he's a solid 25% win clip guy. He's a guy you can never leave out. Mike Taphorn, also a 25% win clip type of guy, won the other day with a couple horses, and he can get them ready off the shelf. Wendy Anderson, she's a big shopper in California, did exceptionally well with those horses last year, and she has a barn full one again, and I expect her to do really well. And even Marvin Buffalo does well. He has Tampa horses as he wintered in Florida, Tampa this winter. And he's about a 20 to 25% win clip guy. So those are just some of the people. And a young trainer, sorry, not to be left out, Devin Gittins, former exercise rider for a top trainer here, Ardell Saylor, who has passed away, but he was a multiple leading trainer. And now Devin Gittins is a trainer, really, really good with young horses. So if you ever see a first-time starter with his name on it, you can definitely consider that one to throw it in.
He looks like he's off to a hot start. I mean, he's already 25% at the meet. So, he definitely off to a good start. Well, you guys do a lot of overnight races, a lot of claiming races, but the big day, obviously, is Manitoba Derby Day, and that's August 5th this year. So you get a lot of ship-ins for that race. What's that race like?
Yeah, we usually do because they have the Western Canada Series. And in the Western Canadian Series, if a horse wins all three legs, it will get a bonus on top of it. So you have to start in the first leg. And that's why the Manitoba Derby is such a big one. You have to start in the first one if you sweep all three to get the bonus. And that's why we do get a lot of shippers.
And those bonuses are very attractive, and you can see
definitely
like this
is.
Yeah, this past year, like with you know, Baltimore and the Preakness and the Strona Group, they're trying to get some bonuses to promote their big races. So yeah, I think they are coming back a little bit. I know when I was growing up, there used to be a $5 million bonus to sweep the Triple Crown. I'm not sure that anybody ever got that, but you know, that was a big thing. I know Visa sponsored that, so those big bonuses and like that can definitely entice guys to fill the gate.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's why we've had Robertino Diodoro for the last 10 years looking at it. So he hasn't come every year, but usually he has a pretty strong contingent of at least two that come in, and one of them is always bet off the board.
Yeah. Well, it seems like a takeout is also a big thing at Assiniboia, and you guys are you know, lowering the takeout, so that makes things more attractive. I know you still do a jackpot pick five, which can lead to some mandatory payouts, but the big bets, it seems, and a lot of the handle, especially this year, you have a $50,000 guarantee on that late pick four. So tell us a little bit about the different wagering options for Assiniboia.
Well, we got pretty well the same wagering options as most tracks. But the very nice thing is our pick four, as you touched on, the guarantee's at 50,000, but each and every night we hit about 100,000. So the great thing is our pick four takeout is only 15 and a bit percent. So 85,000 plus goes back to the bettors, where a lot of other places around the 20, and even used to be us too, that were 20 plus. So it just puts more money in the bettors' pockets. So the pick four at Assiniboia Downs, it's one of the best plays that you can do at our racetrack.
And dollar minimum, is that correct?
Yes, it is, a dollar.
Yeah, so that's attractive, I think, to horse players too, because in Canada, a lot of 20-cent bets. I mean, you guys even have 20-cent pick threes, 20-cent tries, and some people are into that sort of thing. But that dollar pick four, and then you have the guarantee and the low takeout, I know a lot of people that, if they're not aware of it, would be drawn to that sort of wager.
Yeah, I know a lot of people from around the country that specifically play our pick four each and every night just because of that. And I get a lot of text messages asking me about the first-time starters, what I know about them, because I always like to jump in, see what dad did, see what mom did, see what all the siblings did, because it's amazing. Since I've been doing that a little more in depth, I've been able to pick out those first-time starters that I think have a chance.
Well, let's do some handicapping. We talked about pick fours. We're going to do a couple pick fours. Since it's the start of the partnership here, we're going to do a couple days. So we'll do tonight, Monday, the June 3rd, late pick four starts in race number four. We'll also give you some ideas for Tuesday's late pick four. So the beginning leg, race number four, like I said, this is around 9:50 Eastern time. So if you want to play later on tonight and get in on this pick four, and obviously we've said it's an attractive wager here, and it's a 5.5 furlong race now. This is nickel claimers, five claimers, non-winners of three life. Kurt, what sort of ideas did you have for the first leg there?
Well, there is a couple good speed balls in here. The 6-horse Frank's Reload and the 8 Victory Line. So there's no doubt that this pace is going to be hot in this race because they only have a one running style, both of them, and that's run and gun. So on the speed angle, I have to give Victory Line, the 8-horse, a little more coming from Turf Paradise, running against better horses, and I think just has more early foot than Frank's Reload. So I have to take a horse like that on the speed angle. But I also like number 3, Moro Outlaw. If the 6 and 8 want to go battle it out on the front end, Moro Outlaw won last time out. But the steward said he interfered with a horse on the outside midway down the lane, just inside the 8th pole, and he was disqualified. But that horse ran such a good race. He should move forward off that. So I pretty well have it down to those two.
I agree on those two horses, Victory Line. That Turf Paradise speed seems to be quicker than even sometimes California speed. I mean, this horse went 4.5 last time and was claimed out of that race and then brought up here. So I do agree with that one. And you mentioned the three, you know, did get DQ'd. I wasn't very impressed with that necessarily. And that might have been able to go either way. One other one I'll mention, though, is the two Can You Hear Me Now? This horse had some Woodbine lines and wasn't racing very well necessarily on the synthetic, but got the dirt last time. You mentioned the trainer. He was closing up last time in that same race that Moral Outlaw won. And like you said, could heat up front. So maybe Can You Hear Me Now might have got that extra half a furlong too to negotiate in the stretch. That might help that one. So I was 2-3-8 to start.
Yeah, and myself, I have 3-8, and I'm even throwing in the 5 Minister Maz. Here's a horse that has tactical speed, might be able to sit behind the 6-8. Do I think 5.5 is the dream distance? No, I don't. But I just think the horse might get a good trip, cuts back from 7 furlongs, which is always a bonus, and takes a big drop from the first level allowance, which is a massive drop to the condition non-3 lifer. So Jerry Gorno, kind of tough to leave out the leading trainer every year.
Yeah, and that horse was claimed for 7,500, so it's not like it's a give up. I mean, this is, you know, maybe this is just where he belongs. So I don't mind that horse whatsoever either. Let's move on. We'll go to the fifth race and another 5.5. This is a $7,500 claimer. They go for some nice money up here, $14,800 for $7,500 claimers. I thought this was pretty wide open. Where were you here?
You know what? I was wide open on this race as well. Last time these horses ran, I picked the 3 Marquee Well, and he did not do well at all. He hopped at the start and pretty well just trailed, beat a couple horses that were dying off in the end. I still think he has a bit of a shot, even though he is the old timer in the field at 11 years old. But I think he's one you can throw in the mix. But 5 Totalizer, wow, what a race this horse ran last time out against number 8 Run Today, who had the winter racing under the belt. Totalizer stalked, looked him in the eye, and I thought that Run Today would keep on going and maybe dig back in, but it was all Totalizer in the end. So I got to go right back to him because that race was just ultra impressive.
One thing I noticed about this race, if you look at these horses that have been racing here, some of these horses really like to win at this racetrack. The 2 has 9 wins here at the racetrack. The 3 has 11 wins here. The 6 horse has 6 wins and 8 starts. So a lot of these horses race up here, but they race very well on this racetrack. And I was 1-3-5-6 here. I agree with Totalizer. Very nice race there. I did think that the 3 rated a shot, especially with his record over the racetrack, despite the 20-1 morning line. One thing, horse I'll mention that you didn't is the 1, Mr. K. Comes from the top barn. Another one that gets a drop and was pretty competitive down at Houston, even back in the spring here. Just missed in a 5.5 furlong race for 5,000. So I think with that, since then, this horse has a couple races maybe at upper levels that didn't fit in. Now you got the top barn dropping. Maybe this is where this horse belongs. So I would include the 1 also in the second leg.
Oh, definitely. That drop that horse is making from the second level allowance, that is massive. Last year, we had a lot of horses from the first level, optional 10,000, drop into the 7,500. With bad form, and they were competitive for 7,500. So this one's doing a double drop in there and only got beat by 5 or 6.25 lengths in the end to Brody Streak and Chicago's Gray and Blazing Bow. Those are real toughies compared to this field. So Mr. K, I definitely have a lot of respect for.
Well, the 6th race, leg number 3 in this pick 4, this is a maiden 20. Going 5.5. You mentioned earlier, you were talking about first-time starters. Well, you got a couple of them in here. So I'm going to ask you, what do you know about the firsters here?
Okay, let's start with number 2, Lola Lee, the Dad Reload. 8 wins, 560K in earnings. Went from 6 furlongs to 1 mile and 1/16. The Mom, 2 wins, 31K in earnings. And she was a speedball. Lola Lee has 4 brothers and sisters. One of them's a 2-year-old, 2 are maidens, and another one's a non-two lifer. So really not much in the siblings to go on. No monsters in there. And number eight, BB Bear, the dad Kentucky Bear, one win, made over 100K at a route of ground. The mom, CZ Bell, unplaced in two starts. This one does have one sibling that is a non-two lifer, broke the maiden, only made about $12,000 in earnings. So off of these two, I'm going to have a tough time going with either of these firsters because there isn't much in the family as of yet. So I'm going to leave them out and kind of watch them this race.
Yeah, this is I didn't use either one of those either. I was looking towards the five and the six. The six, Yellow Birdie, Speed last time, and just ultimately got tired coming off the bench. This horse had a couple races and was bet as a two-year-old up here and even landed in a stake on July 25th last year. Didn't disgrace, ended up third in that spot. I thought returned okay and probably should be a little better. You get 6-1 morning line, and then the five, Hyper Holiday, one that raced shipping in from Woodbine last time and closed up, made up almost six lengths in the stretch. Should probably be a little bit tighter now. And you mentioned the trainer, Giddens, obviously doing very well so far, good with young horses. So I was five and six there.
Yeah, the six is going to have to hook up with the four horse Blue Tango again, as they did last time out. And there might be a couple others with some speed, maybe the nine Touch Wit class. Myself, I do like the favorite in here, the three True or Tree Hugger. This horse bumped, steadied, got in all sorts of trouble early on. What I like is that the horse made some good late run, only to be beaten by O'Pair, who came from the absolute clouds on the far outside. So a smoother trip, Tree Hugger's a little closer, and I think can maybe get there. I don't like it at a short price, as these were so close together between the one, three, and five. How they finished, even throwing the six, they were all right there at the end. But Tree Hugger off the last trip, he's going to get the top nod for me. And watch out there. I do have a sleeper in here, and that's the seven horse, Pam's Awesome. If you look at Pam's Awesome, looks terrible. Eighth beaten double digits. Had trouble at the break, steadied in the first lifetime out. So let's just throw that race out. It was experience. But look at that workout on May the 6th. 101-3 out of the starting gate. And if you look at the time of the race that these horses ran on May the 20th, it was 102-1. So that workout is stellar to me. And if you're looking for a horse at big odds, Mike, you might want to throw this one in there.
That's interesting. And that horse has been working up a storm even back into April. A couple bullet works, one out of 25 on April the 12th, one out of 33 on April the 21st. So this horse is well prepped and could be live. I definitely, 21 morning line, I would expect that to go a lot lower, especially if they think that this one's ready to go. And by the works, that's a very good possibility.
Yeah, I don't think it'll go too low just because the one, like I said, the one horse, the three horse, the five, and the six, they all finished within a length and three quarters of each other. So you're going to have to play all those ones. And Jerry Gorno has one coming by way of Houston. His always take money. So I think Pam's Awesome. If I wouldn't have said anything, and I don't tell anybody why I like this horse, it might go off at 30-40 to 1, but I just think it's going to be a great long shot play in here. And Stephen Gaskin won with a horse first off the shelf the other day.
Yeah, definitely a great play for Maltese. Okay, so let's go to the final leg. And this is an optional claiming for 10K. They're going for 16-5. This is basically a 1X type allowance race. And got 5.5 furlongs. How are we going to get paid here?
Well, first thing we're going to do is scratch the two. We got that as an early scratch this morning. But there's an interesting stat in this race on the four horse Kate's Princess. She loves winning at Assiniboia Downs. She's won 9 out of 21 starts. in the last 3 years, she did not win her first start, but she won her second start all 3 years. She brings crazy speed to the race. The other speed is Lady Cop, but Kate's Princess, when she really wants to rattle it on the front end, she can make it there. She had such a terrible trip, didn't get out of the gate well, steadying behind horses more than once. She did not run a race. I'm expecting a way better race today. And if I can get 7-2 or higher, she's going to be a prime play.
Yeah, I agree on the four, Kate's Princess. And that was quite the record. It's hard to look past that. 9 wins and 21 starts. And you mentioned the fact that usually second up, she's very good. The only other horse I was interested in was maybe the 7 Casino Queen. This horse was claimed for 5 at Houston, came up here and ended up in a 20 claimer, and really, you know, had a little trouble in that race. Again, this is the top barn here, 10-1 morning line. I think one that could be live just with that little bit of back class and some okay races at Houston. A little bit of a jump for this one maybe, but this horse has 14 lifetime wins, has made over 200,000. So that'd be another one to consider in that last race. Okay, you mentioned go ahead.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because this horse, the 3 horses it got beat by in that race would all be 1-9 in this race. Half of the wrapper, Melisandre or Damn the Torpedoes, would be 1-9 in here for sure.
So if people are looking for your ticket, you said you'll have it on the live feed for tonight. And again, that pick 4 starts about 10 minutes to 10. How do they usually run? Is there a big rake? Things like as far as the post times, or you guys pretty much stay on schedule?
We try and stay on schedule as much as possible. And in the later races, we're bang on, but we like to avoid other races that are starting. Say Mountaineers race is going off in 2 minutes, we're going off in 5, then we'll go off in 7 minutes instead. So, but for the most part, we're really good at trying to keep our post times.
Well, that's Monday's pick 4, and that's tonight. We're recording this Monday afternoon. We're going to get this up as soon as we can, as far as people are listening to this. You get Monday, but we're going to give you a little bonus Tuesday, since this is the initial podcast for Cineboya. We're going to give you a little Tuesday pick 4, so Tuesday night, and we're going to start that late pick 4 again in the 4th race, about 10 minutes to 10 Eastern time, 5.5 furlongs, going $5,500 claimers. And I had a single in here. I'm curious if you did as well.
Ooh. Okay. Well, I don't have a single, but I do like a horse a lot in here, and that's Yola. Is that your single?
It is. It is.
Oh, so impressive last time out. I picked the horse, and it always runs well fresh here to Cineboy Downs. This is a former 75 wide open claimer that was competitive each and every start, always well bet. And after that first race, I could probably even be talked into the single also.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, that outside post is big, looks really the main speed of the race and should be brimming with confidence. So, you know, and these pick 4s too, even though this horse is 2-1 morning line, you need to find places to kind of slim down. This looks like a good spot to do that.
Oh, yeah, not afraid the 6 horse will go after Yola a bit, but I just don't like the way the horse finished last time out. So, Yola, I'm with you. Big player in here. And if you're looking for a single, it's always nice to get it home early and have extras towards the end if you need them, because usually myself, I do need those extra horses in my last legs.
That never hurts to be alive to more of them in the last leg, because a lot of things can definitely happen. Okay, let's go to the 5th race. And this is a small stakes race, going for 24,000, 5 furlongs, and where were you at here? I thought this was much tougher than leg 1.
Oh, no doubt about it. Well, the speed of the race is the 7.5 in the wrapper. Back in 2022, this overnight stake was won by 1/2 in the wrapper. And then the next stake, the other sprint stake that we have, was also won by 1/2 in the wrapper. Both of them in convincing fashion. And then went over to Ontario to Woodbine and plied the trade there. But this horse just comes in with blazing speed. But I think this horse you could consider a little more, because since that last race, they worked it a week later. And Mike Taphorn, I said, is one of those top trainers you want to watch. Maybe he thought the horse needed a little more and just came up short, kind of like the running line show. So that work I absolutely love. And Half in the Wrapper, I think, is a big threat to steal it.
That's great information. And, you know, this horse did get a prep, and you mentioned had some success here at the racetrack in the past at this level. So, and that is interesting too. You don't often see that. You don't often see a work right after a week after a pretty tough race like that. So that is definitely interesting. There's some others in here though too. Melissa Andre, the 3 horse, that horse has 10 wins at this racetrack and raced really well in that race that we talked about, that the Half in the Wrapper raced in on May 21st. I thought that horse rated a chance. The 4, Stormy is the Blue. Another one from the top barn was racing at upper levels on the grass at Houston, but does have some dirt form in the past. This could be sort of a class drop. He just doesn't like to win all that much, so he might be an underneath type. And then the 6 Fun Line was another one. Yeah, 5 furlongs, it's true. So, you know, he could be one to maybe play underneath. But his class, you never know. I mean, like you said, a lot of speed in the race. Another one was a 6 I thought may be interesting, Spun Line. Maybe another closing type. He probably needs things to heat up, but could be a price in there.
Yeah, that's if the 2 and 7 go battle it out early and maybe throw in the 1 Soaring Lady who's jumping up in class. But you got to respect number 8, Damn the Torpedoes also. This is a horse that has done the winning many different ways, has done it on the front end, as you've seen earlier on in the program. But DeMario Bino, this is one of those horses where he has speed, but he didn't want to show it. And he beat the boys coming off the pace where there was a load of early gas in there. And I was, wow, beating up on that field of boys was an eye-opener. Came back, went to Century Downs. Their track is so much different than ours. But that first start of the year, rallied from well back again and drew off impressively. Damn the Torpedoes, got to be one of the best mares on the grounds.
Really wide open race there. And
I would have to take probably 3 or 4 to be totally comfortable.
Well, the 6th race is a maiden special. They're going for 20, and lots of first-timers in here, so have at it.
Yeah, we got a bunch of them. The 3 horse, I could be the one. The sire, Saturday Night Lights, 10 wins, 200,000 in earnings, was a speedball. Sista Baby Girl, the mom, 6 wins, 67,000 in earnings, also a bit of a speedball. This one has 5 brothers and sisters. One's a yearling. One's a 2-year-old. Another one is unstarted. And the other ones are just non-2-lifers that really haven't shown a lot. The other first-time starter, number 4, Mystery Dance. The dad, Mank, was a maiden. The mom, With Its Feet, also a maiden. And this is a first foal. So there really isn't a lot to go on the breeding side on the 4.
Yeah, and it's a full gate here. I thought lots of form that, you know, the 2, I think, could be tough. 9-5 favorite coming off that speed try first time out and got a decent figure there. You don't often see 58 buyers for maiden specials at Assiniboia. What do you think about that?
No, you don't. So that horse ran absolutely amazing in there and guaranteed is to go off as the favorite.
Yeah, it looks really tough in there. I mean, there's some other ones to consider. The 8, the 9, I think, are a little bit interesting. The 9, yeah. Figure-wise, definitely fits, and those Oakland races are obviously tough. So that could be another one from the top connections that could get something there.
Yeah, a couple more trainers I didn't really touch on too much, but watch out for number 6, Double Karuba. This horse was well-respected first time out at 4-1. And showed speed and then backed off in the end. Mike Nault has had his horses ready to go. As you see, he's had 7 out of 10 in the money with 2 wins, and none of them were winter raced. So that was a great job, and I expect this one to move forward after that first start. And if you want to watch a little bit of a video, watch the video on number one, Tea Party Today. This horse almost dwelt into the gate, just sat there looking around as everybody was gone. But coming down the lane, this horse made a move on the turn and was there in the end. Yes, was nine lengths out of it. But after that poor start, I'm going to throw that race out, but I'm going to say this horse can run. And Carl Anderson, an old sly trainer here at Assiniboia Downs, been there, done that. And I could see this one being a bit of a runner. And that's an excellent workout out of the gate, 1-1-4.
Yeah, adds Lasix, and that trainer has a record of 5 wins and 15 starts with the first time with him. So that's a pretty interesting stat, and maybe a little bit of a hidden horse there in the sixth race. All right, so we're almost done. We're going to go to the seventh race, and that's a 5.5 furlong to finish up. We got 4 claimers. How are we going to get paid here?
Well, this is a little bit of everything in here. You have some out of condition. You have some a non-2-lifer in here. 5 of the horses have yet to start in 2024. 1 comes off dwelting at the gate. And there's an absolute speedball in here that only looks like he can go 5 furlongs. And this race is 5.5. So I'm actually going to go to the outside horse. That's Spire. This horse has always been a solid horse here at Assiniboia Downs. 15 starts, 3 wins. The reason only 3 wins, they used to race this horse over its head and it would be knocking on the door 3rd and 4th against better horses. This is an absolute perfect spot for this horse. And if it would have been at this level for its whole racing career here at Assiniboia Downs, it would probably have 14 wins. So it has a good running style, will be forward in the race. And this horse was claimed at Turf Paradise, but Courtney Ross has had this horse in the past. So I'm a big fan of Spire.
That's great information. I was looking to the J.A. Gruneau horses, the 4 and the 5 here, both very low in the morning line. But, you know, the 4 had raced for 5,500 last time after being claimed at Fawner. And, you know, made a big move, but ended up tiring late. So could be ready for this race. And then
for sure. You know,
the 5. Yeah. And the 5 was claimed for 2,500 and was racing very well at Fawner in those short races. Those 4.5 furlong races are very quick. So a lot of speed for this one.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And there really isn't a ton of early speed in here. So this is one of those horses that could just get out and be freewheeling. But since it's 5.5 and not 5 furlongs, I like Tis Hot and Dusty over Cajun Birdie.
Well, this has been fantastic, Kurt. Give us some final thoughts. You've given us a ton of great information. And I think this is the perfect jumping off point for our partnership here with Assiniboia.
Okay, Mike. Well, if you are playing Assiniboia Downs, a couple key notes to remember. Let's go. Speed does very well on our track, but if you watch ASD Live, myself and Stretch are on there. We are going to keep you informed, especially before pick 5s, pick 4s, how we feel the track is playing up until that point. And I think that is major when you are betting pick 4s and pick 5s, knowing whether speed is going or not. On 7 furlong races, inside horses have a definite advantage. If you're on the outside, you either have to pull back and go to the rail, or you got to be able to clear on the front end. And if you can't do that, you don't think the horse is going to clear, those 20-1 shots out of hole, post position 1 through 3, they're going to get absolute dream trips, and you might get some really super winners from there. But that's just a little bit of the handicapping stuff.
Well, that's, again, all great information. Appreciate you coming on. And hopefully we're going to have Assiniboia segments at least for the next 6 weeks here, hopefully beyond that. And can't wait to watch you on the feed here these next couple days.
That sounds great, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
All right. And this has been a production of In the Money Media. Our president is Peter Thomas Fornatel. Hopefully he'll be back next week. He's busy traveling, doing Belmont things. So we'll get him back here soon, and we'll see you guys next time.